I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barber shop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, Sports Illustrated reporter Pablo Torre, and Gustavo Arellano, who writes the syndicated column Ask a Mexican. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey.
What's going on, man?
Oh, man. Well, let's jump right in. Lou Dobbs abruptly calls it quits on a CNN broadcast Wednesday. Now, Dobbs, who has been somewhat of a lightning rod for his outspoken views on illegal immigration, he didn't say what his next move would be, but, quote, is considering a number of options and directions, unquote. And I'm sure there are a lot of Latinos that wouldn't mind telling him where to go and how to get there.
I love his language. Did you hear what he said? Somewhat of a lightning rod. What have you, like, since when have we embraced
the
British understatement?
What
is going on here?
Seriously, man.
I cannot. Right. My email was overloaded with people burning up my email about this. But anyway, do you want to hear what he said when he stepped down, for those of you who missed the announcement, which I think was a surprise, I think.
It broke about an hour before his live broadcast.
Before his last broadcast. Anyway, if you're interested, I'll just play a short clip of what he had to say about why. Here it is.
Over the past 6 months, it's become increasingly clear that strong winds of change have begun buffeting this country and affecting all of us. And some leaders in media, politics, and business have been urging me to go beyond the role here at CNN and to engage in constructive problem solving, as well as to contribute positively to a better understanding of the great issues of our day, and to continue to do so in the most honest and direct language possible.
I just want to add one thing to that. I asked him, Lou Dobbs was on the program in November of 2007. He was promoting a book, whatever his latest book was at that time. And I specifically asked him, I said, well, if you care this deeply about this stuff, why don't you run yourself? Why don't you get out there?
Uh-oh.
And he said, no.
Thanks a lot, Michelle.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Thanks, Michelle.
Okay. All right, Jimmy.
Well, thanks, Michelle. And, not for nothing, this isn't the first time he's resigned from CNN. He's been with the network since they started in 1980. This is his second resignation. He resigned once in 1999, and he came back the next year. So I don't know. Gustavo, my man, do you think we'll see him come back to CNN?
Oh, I don't know about coming back to CNN, but this is not the last we've seen of Dobbs. First and foremost, though, congratulations to those groups who have really been exposing Dobbs for the man that he is, for the disgusting man that he is, BastaDobbs.com specifically, who would make these videos just showing the worst clips of Dobbs. Dobbs saying that Latinos have brought in 3,000 cases of leprosy in the past 3 years, when the Center for Disease Control says,
yikes,
No, it's actually been 3,000 cases overall in the past 30 years. So thank God the man's off. But I think those opponents of Dobbs, they got to be careful as to what his next step is. Is it going to be Fox Business Channel, like some say? Maybe. Will he run for office? Perhaps. I personally think he's probably going to join some think tank like the American Enterprise Institute, one of those conservative think tanks, and really try to affect legislative policy that in some ways is going to make him much more dangerous than him just yapping his mouth on CNN every night.
The Fox Business Channel would be a good fit for him. He can flex that degree he got from Harvard in 67 in economics. Harvard, stand up. Pablo, my
thanks,
man.
Jimmy.
Harvard will, in fact, stand up. Listen, I like to view this, as much as I want to view this as a victory for the marketplace of ideas, that we're sort of informally or at least de facto ousting his voice. I think it's as much a victory for the marketplace of business. I think this is a great move for CNN. I think they're not going to be Fox News. They're not going to be MSNBC. I think what they're trying to do is show that they can't be the channel of record with a guy who's talking about leprosy, who's blaming, a third of prison inmates blaming legal immigration for a third of prison inmates. I think, they want to go something along the lines of the Anderson Cooper route, which John King most certainly is, less ideological, less aggressively moronic, less incendiary.
Let me just
more
clarify for
facts.
Those. Dobbs was replaced by John King, who's CNN's host of the Sunday political show State of the Union. Of course, King has been with CNN for many years, but before that, he was a reporter for the Associated Press and obviously works very, very hard to kind of keep his personal opinions out of the whole thing. For me, the issue with Dobbs was twofold. I mean, his opinions, however noxious to, some, embraced by others, the issue is, are you about the facts or not? I mean, if you're going to be at a cable channel that wants to be the sort of the broadcast outlet of record, you got to be about your facts. And I think that, you know, Pablo pointed out a number, or was it, sorry, Gustavo, one of the, that his acquaintanceship with facts became very, very tenuous over the years. Mm-hmm. And secondly, the fact that reporters who were trying to be straightforward reporters and just report the facts were constantly put in a position of having to answer to him in the host position, where he would then browbeat them for not taking on his political perspective in their reporting. And to me, that was what was problematic about it. Because there are people like Bill O'Reilly. Everybody knows where he's coming from, and you may not like where he's coming from, but it wasn't as problematic an arrangement. It wasn't, right. You know, you weren't pretending to be one thing while doing another. That right. was
I guess. I guess for me, I never looked at him as a journalist. I always looked at him as an ideologue with the show. You know, who was pushing. He was pushing his worldview through this filter. He's kind of like you know, Rush Light. You know, in a lot of ways. Just you know, he takes a piece of the facts, and you know, he takes his filter, and he pushes his opinion through.
Yeah, you weren't required to. I mean, if you're, let's say you're a reporter for CNN, you weren't required right. to appear on Rush Limbaugh's program. If you're a reporter okay. for CBS News, let's say Rush Limbaugh might be carried on the CBS radio network. Okay, CBS reporters wouldn't be required to appear on his program. That's what's problematic about it.
I see. Well, Train.
This is Arsalan. You know, for me, I think that he loves CNN because he wanted to spend a little bit more time with his racism. He talks about the strong winds of change, and I hope those winds of change, you know, hit him right as he walked out the door, because you know, we're talking about advocacy journalism. You know, that's what right. we're talking about, where you're not a traditional journalist by the textbook definition. You're an advocacy journalist, and Michelle's absolutely right. I mean, I have friends who are reporters on CNN who, you know, are reporting factual stories as journalists, and then, like Michelle said, you know, had to go on and had to deal with his advocacy journalism. So, you know, I'm playing the world's smallest violin for him right now.
Just to be fair about it, he insists that he is not a racist. I mean, in fact, I think he appeared
before.
He has
a Latina wife.
Yes, he does. And I just feel that he's standing up for people who he's saying what others won't say. But again, I think it's inexcusable to be wrong on something like that leprosy charge or something right. as explosive as that, and to simply be wrong. It's inexcusable, particularly when you have the resources of a major international news organization to check your facts. But anyway, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. You're listening to our weekly Barbershop segment, and we're speaking with journalists Jimmy Israel, Arsalan Iftikhar, Pablo Torre, and Gustavo Arellano. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, former Major League slugger Sammy Sosa in the news after he showed up at the Latin Grammys earlier this month, appearing muy blanco. Now, Sosa, now wait a second. Now, Sosa, he says he was using a skin cream that many people believe, he won't confirm or deny, but many people believe is a product called NUR76, NUR 76 is a cream used for skin lightening and anti-aging applications. And it's widely available in Europe and Asia, and not by accident. It reportedly does $20 million in sales annually. So bust that. You know, but I saw a dude, and dude looked mad scared. He looked like he was going to the audition for a Thriller the musical. I don't know what's going on in his head. Pablo, help me out.
Yeah, this is, you know, on one level, of course, it's troubling for the same reason that the Michael Jacksoning of Michael Jackson was troubling, that you're sort of, you know, it's seemingly de facto prizing this Western white ideal. You know, he was a dark-skinned guy. He was, you know, he was not proficient in English. It seems to be a sort of transformation of his character, which further sort of makes the saga of Sammy Sosa all the more absurd. I mean, think back to 98, him in his home run chase with Mark McGwire. They were both heroes. We both learned since then they're both vastly different men than we thought they were. You know, they appeared on the cover of SI as Greek Olympians, as Sportsman of the Year. And now beyond, I mean, obviously this is a superficial thing mostly, but beyond that, we of course have the steroid revelation. So right. New York Times discovered was guilty of that. Right. And McGwire obviously is pretty much dead to rights as far as that goes as well. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to hear this,
Michelle.
I don't know if you guys want to hear this. There's a Univision's Tony D'Andrades asked Sosa earlier this week if he's proud of being black. I can play it for you. It's in Spanish. I'll translate if you want.
Sure,
okay,
yeah,
it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Why not? Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
Estoy orgulloso, Sammy Sosa, de ser negro.
Todo el tiempo. Así fue que yo nací, Tony. Ahora bien, que quiero lucir mejor, mi vida entera siempre lo ha hecho. Yo no veo ningún tipo de problema con eso, pero no me olvido de dónde vengo.
So he was asked if he's proud to be black, and he says, all the time, that's the way I was born. Now I want to look better. My whole life I have wanted to look better. I don't see any problem with that, but I don't forget where I came from. from. So, I mean, well,
okay.
I got, you know, look.
Thanks for that, Michelle. You know, and for all the sisters that are out there that said, there goes another good black man, just so you know, it won't stick. You know, the product just limits your melanin for a limited period of time, and it is reversible. So,
but is that dangerous? Can I ask Pablo, isn't that dangerous to be using a product like that if you're going to be out in the sun? I don't get it.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's a good idea on a variety of levels. I think, you know, medically, I think, you know, the fact that it's legal in Europe and Asia does not necessarily provide a stamp of approval as far as health reasons
right,
goes.
Right.
Did he not think anyone would notice?
Yeah, that's a troubling part. He's on the red carpet at the, you know, with the Latin Grammys or whatever it was. And that's, you know, in this day and age, I don't think you can hide anywhere, specifically not in an awards ceremony in which you are this guy who's been reviled and alternately praised throughout the past decade for a variety of baseball feats. You know, drawing your attention to yourself in this way is not the way to go, I think.
Can I ask Gustavo, though, is this
whole skin lightening product thing big in Latin America?
It's the first time I've ever heard of it. Although I have to say, you know, being from Mexico, we do have a very tiny Afro-Mexican community, and that, of course, that would ostensibly be the population that would want to lighten their skin. Years ago, in the 50s, there was a famous Mexican film about that where you had an Afro-Mexican trying to lighten her skin to try to pass in Mexican society. And if Sammy Sosa is indeed trying to lighten his skin because he has some issue with the color of his skin, I find it really sad, especially in the Dominican Republic, which has such a large Afro-Dominican community, yet historically the people who have been in power have been, you know, lighter-skinned, mm-hmm. either, you know, lighter-skinned Dominicans. And always, though, even that Afro legacy has been diminished. I think who is a famous dictator from the Trujillo, I believe his last name mm-hmm. is, or whatever. But he was of African blood, yet he always tried to pass himself off more as European. So Sosa just seems to be going down that sad trajectory, which is sad because if you think of the great Latino ball players, especially from the Caribbean, like Roberto Clemente, yep. Juan Marichal, Orlando Cepeda, they never made any qualms about the color of their skin. In fact, they were proud of who where and where they came from, and they didn't mind going out there in the public and showing the people what is the true worth of Dominican and Puerto Rico.
Well, you know, for me, this is Arsalan, I think that, you know, we're living in such dire economic times where all of our paychecks are getting lighter than Sammy Sosa, and so now Sammy Sosa is getting lighter than Sammy Sosa. You know, being from Chicago, you know, seeing his, I mean, I, you know, we've seen his career, for, you know, from the Chicago Cubs to today, and, you know, we remember his early days, you know, his soul glow jersey curl days, and now he looks like some sort of broke sexual white chocolate. So, you know, it's Sammy's really just turned into a circus.
You know what? I say in the age where, you know, you can all this plastic surgery and all this kind of stuff, I say it's his face, it's his skin,
it is.
It's his body.
Sure.
Don't judge him. Mm-hmm. Don't judge
him. No, that the first part, yes. Second part, no. What's the point of being a public figure if we can't judge you from afar? Excuse me.
Well, Michelle,
what would we talk about? Anyway, go ahead, Jimmy.
All right. Well, you know what? With that on the deck, let's get ready to rumble. You know what? The best pound-for-pound fighter, Manny Pacquiao, a.k.a. the Pac-Man, steps mm-hmm. back into the ring against Miguel Cotto. Does anybody think Cotto can get it? Do you think he stands a chance, Pablo?
No. And I've reported on Pacquiao extensively and his trainer, Freddie Roach. And, you know, run, don't walk to your television screen and order this Saturday. Don't mean to put on my Don King hat here, but if you can have the stomach for fights, if you have the stomach for boxing, go watch this fight. Pacquiao is going to destroy him, but it'll be really, really entertaining.
How come?
Well, because there are two great storylines. You know, Floyd Mayweather, for example, who's the premier American fighter, you know, he gets the attention for being an American, for being boisterous. These two guys are actually fairly civil. But Pacquiao and Cotto both are A sluggers. They both fight, and both take it to them. They'll both undoubtedly have health problems down the road because of it. But also, there's this great storyline. I mean, Manny Pacquiao could be the president of the Philippines in 5 years, and I mean that as no exaggeration.
Right.
He's the most popular man there, and it's terrifying for Filipinos, trust me. Cotto himself is a soft-spoken guy, but, you know, has this history of being an excellent fighter and has a great chin, so it's going to be a good matchup. And there's a bunch of back storylines. Freddie Roach, who I wrote about this week in SI, has Parkinson's disease and speaks to the brain damage risk in boxing, so there's a bunch of stuff that sports writers like me at least love as far as human drama goes.
Anybody else watching it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Well, Manny Pacquiao is gangster. Like, he is the Michael Jordan of boxing. I think, you know, in terms of, like, analyzing the fight, I do agree Pacquiao is going to win. You know, Cotto tends to cut real easy and give up in the later rounds. And Pacquiao is more of a marathon man who mm-hmm. you know, will sort of start in round eight. He'll take the rope-a-dope body punches, you know, for the first. I don't think it's going to be a De La Hoya fight where you're going to see a quick KO. I think it's going to go the distance, and Pacquiao will win probably on points in a split decision.
Jimmy, are you going to watch it?
Absolutely. Knock it out, Michelle.
Jay-Z has already name-checked Manny Pacquiao in his song. I think that means he's a
rock in America. That's gangster.
Wow. Can I just be the girl about this and say, I have no desire to watch grown men beat each other up for money?
Yeah.
None. Zero. Zippo.
You shouldn't watch football then either.
Oh, well.
Yeah, Michelle, you should read On Boxing by Joyce Carol Oates, which is about a short little 50-page book where she talks about, just in her own lyrical fashion, the beauty of boxing. Boxing, really, I love it. It's an amazing sport. Manny Pacquiao, he's the Pac-Man. He's also the Mexicutioner. He has destroyed every
Actually, one of my best friends is a boxing writer, and she's a woman, but I still ain't doing it. Sorry, I love y'all.
he's destroyed every great Mexican boxing champion of this past generation.
All right, we got to leave it there,
he's
Pablo.
Just a great guy.
Love
great
you.
Guy.
Pablo Torres, reporter, as you can tell, for Sports Illustrated. Yes. He likes boxing. He joined us from our New York studios. Gustavo Arellano is a syndicated columnist who writes the syndicated column Ask a Mexican. He was kind enough to join us from member station KUCI in Irvine, California. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com. He's also a presidential fellow at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio. He joined us from member station WCPN. And Arsalan Iftikhar is the founder of TheMuslimGuy.com and a civil rights attorney and the author of a forthcoming book. He joined us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Gentlemen, thank you.
Peace.
Gracias. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More's technical director is Neil Tivolt, with assistance from Greg Gavin. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment, with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more on Monday.